Good evening. This is Stephen Otero speaking. Welcome to Mondo Eros on bbsradio.com. And we are back tonight with original programming. And as I just said, welcome to Mondo Eros. Normally when I introduce the show, I say welcome. This is to Mondo Eros Live. Tonight we are back again with original programming, but we are on tape to accommodate everybody's schedules on Saturday night. So as you are listening to my voice, I'm right now on a rooftop somewhere in Manhattan at a party.
Wow.
And my wonderful guest here is doing a puja, are you not?
No, not right this minute. It's coming up on Saturday, so I have a few days to prepare.
Right. Well, that's fantastic. So we're doing many things, and we're going to have a great time tonight with some, I think, very interesting and very stimulating conversation. I'm talking to someone tonight who I have been wanting to talk to for a very long time, someone whose career I have followed. I'm talking to Dr. Karina Clark of thegoddesstemple.com. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm very happy. I'll just share with everybody the first time I became aware of you and became an admirer of yours. There was, in the late 1990s, a weekly late-night television show in syndication called Strange Universe.
Strange Universe.
It's a strange universe out there, and we got it covered. That was their tagline. And they did a segment on the Bikini Goddesses, and their teacher leader was Mare Simone, and you were one of the students.
I don't think I was a student. I think I had people that I was working on, and one of them was a millionaire who really changed his life around and realized that money was not so important and that connection was more of an importance. So granted, Mare Simone is one of my teachers, but I don't think on that episode that it was me teaching my students in that particular.
Oh, great. Okay. That's just the way I remember it, but, you know, but I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, and I think poor Scott Katamas, who's Lori Grace's man now, I think he lost his job over that. Because it was just so out there and so not what the world wanted to hear. And you know, they kind of tongue-in-cheek, a lot of things that I have done have been tongue-in-cheek, and I just figure that's because the world really isn't ready for it.
Yes, well, why do you think that is?
Well, I mean, I can't, that's a big generalization. I can certainly say that a lot of the world is ready for it and waiting and just panting to get at this information. But I also think that the mainstream media and, you know, I don't know, everything, the government, the GPA, it's like, if we were all blissful and just happy, then we wouldn't buy the latest car or the latest computer or the latest.
Yeah.
We would be so happy within ourselves that we wouldn't need that. So I definitely see, you know, maybe other forces coming forward and saying, oh, don't be so sure that this Tantra thing is all it. There could be a lot more that could benefit the government.
Cool.
I think they'd like to get their own version of Tantra.
Yeah, probably. Probably.
They can market it.
But that's how I first became aware of you, and then I found out about Goddess Temple, which is your main site that you created.
20 years old, that baby doll. 20 years old. I've been in this business, and my first discovery was such an amazing one that I felt like if I could share one sliver, 1 ounce, one little teeny tiny bit of this with other people, I would be fulfilled. And luckily, I was guided on a way that I could do that. So I think that my own, I don't know, it's like once you touch it yourself, it's kind of hard to unring the bell.
Yes.
You know.
What was that one discovery?
The very first workshop that I did was with Charles and Caroline Muir in Los Angeles, and it was incredibly profound for me because I was really shut down, and it's funny when I say that to my friends because they laugh. They're like, you? Oh, yeah, okay, right. But I was like, I don't want to go in a room and talk about sex for 2 days. Forget that. That sounds horrible. Like, I wanted just everything I just didn't enjoy it. And the faster, the better, and the last thing I wanted to know was about how to prolong it.
Wow.
So, my therapist at the time, who was also my oriental philosophy teacher in college, he just hounded me and made sure that I went there. And lots of things happened. I had a lover that I was with who wasn't, you know, particularly respectful, a little bit of violent abuse. And I had tried for years and years and years to get away from this man. And once I did this workshop, we had a very intelligent, very beautiful conversation where we just went our separate ways. And it was the easiest thing after so many years of fighting and strifing and trying to make it happen, and that didn't do it. Somehow this workshop ignited it. And I can't say it was a particularly sexual workshop because most of my sacred spot experiences, I felt numbness. I didn't feel a whole lot in my body. Although my third eye was opening, I was becoming more vocal, I wanted to sing more, I felt more empowered. I had remembered past lives where I was a priestess in a temple, and that this was really part of my soul's dharma. So even though it wasn't like all the woo-poo sexual things that we hear about, like, oh, I want to be tantra and make love, like, sting for 9 hours, and I want this and I want that. Like, yes, there's a lot of really beautiful things that go along with that the more you practice it. But early on, I think just a tremendous thing was to get myself back.
And so you were shut down primarily because of abuse or something? Or?
I had abuse issues. I started working early in the sex industry, and I'm not talking about the sacred sex Dakini healer industry. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about sensual massage and, you know, $300 an hour for whatever you have to do.
Wow.
And so I think that caused me to shut down more because I felt like I don't want anyone to see me in my pleasure. This is the one thing I have that's my own.
Right.
And I don't really want to share this. So I had been living that lifestyle at least for 5 years and had caused myself to shut down because I thought it was easier. I didn't want to fall in love with these people who were going to leave me in an hour. You know, it was
right.
The safest thing for me to do. And because of that, when I discovered Tantra, I couldn't just gung-ho go right into it. I mean, I went to India, I went to Singapore, to China, Japan. I really studied a lot of these Eastern traditions and spent a lot of time with my Guruji in India and really learning more of the ancient, more of the traditional, more of the right-handed path of Tantra. And that kind of gave me a certain wholeness that I could take back with me to my students or the people that I met. And so it was a little bit of a gradual step. I didn't step from just one to the other. I needed a lot of break time and a lot of time to integrate it and to find out what it meant to me, because I knew this one power, this Tantra, was so much more dynamic, and this other thing was kind of like a downward spiral.
Yes.
So at the same time, I wanted to take just everything that was good and combine it into sessions that would really benefit people. And now I can honestly say in my life I'll do, you know, somewhere between 1 and 3 sessions, and I will be in a state of tantric awakening. My fingers will be buzzing. My lips will be buzzing. My heart will feel like it's going to open. And I just feel like what a gift that God is still, I mean, that's like my first awakening, but I get to go through it with other people. And it makes me high. I don't mean high like on a drug. I mean like high when you're connected directly to the universe. When you and Source are almost one, like what she thinks, you think. And that's just the most beautiful gift I've got from this whole experience.
I think I'm getting a little bit of that right now.
I try, you know, a lot of my Hindu gurus have said I have a Shakti pot, that you only have to be in a room with me or talk to me, and I can be inspiring, or I can change something. So I don't know if that's true or that's just a bunch of guru hoo-hoo. But it's a beautiful thing to think, and I can't help but think even stars today, like celebrities, like if they see a kid with cancer or whatever, if they could just touch that person's head and say, I love you, my best wishes are for your healing. You know, I would just wonder how much that would really change that person, because that person looks up to that star or that celebrity. And it really is in our own minds and our own bodies that we achieve healing. So
That's a really amazing thought. And I hope one day that you put that somewhere. Maybe you could put that on Facebook.
I'll put it anywhere you want me to, baby. No, but that's a great Facebook and other things. But that's a great Facebook idea. That's a great little. I like to put things on there that make other people think too.
Yeah.
You know. Well, how could I apply that?
Yes, I think that's a wonderful.
What did I say again? I'm sorry. Sometimes I'm brilliant and I don't really remember what I say.
Well, we have it on tape here.
Oh, that's good.
And
perfect.
Basically, you were saying that some of your teachers say that you have the ability to transmit Shaktipat.
Yeah.
And that also famous people, famous celebrities, movie stars.
Shaktipat. I think Shaktipat is like being psychic. Like no one has it and no one doesn't. I think we all have the ability, especially if we have someone who believes in us, whether it be devotees or fans or any of that.
Yes. And that people like that, celebrities, you know, if they see someone who is ill, or if they could just touch them and just spend a little time with them, give them a little bit of that, because these people are so in love with them and so admire them, that would heal them and transform their lives.
Totally. I think we all have so many powers that we don't know about or we haven't tapped into. And I think part of that is just being open, like having an open mind and even thinking, well, this might be a little crazy, but do it thinking the best could happen. And I think that's the way you get past it. Like, oh, no. She's just famous. She's not a guru. Well, we're all people.
Yes.
We're all human. Even the guru's human.
Absolutely. And let's see. I'm looking at the... I'm at the Goddess Temple right now.
Yay. It's
on my
been
link,
going
and I'm looking,
under
I'm gonna,
so
look
many
you,
changes
just,
lately.
Yeah, just see those wonderful eyes of yours and just think, energy.
See, sometimes you can get a little Shaktipat just by going to goddesstemple.com.
See, it's worth going to goddesstemple.com.
It really is. There's so many goodies on there.
Oh, there is. And also, I love also reading your articles. I love to read your articles and your writings. And I just like, you know, just searching and finding different things about you, like looking at your article on Tantric Sex and Overview at Lady Fire right now.
Oh, yeah. Goddess Valentina was just telling me, she was like, I was on Lady Fire. And I said, I remember they took a bunch of my articles, but then I didn't hear much. If they were still on there or what?
Yeah, it's still there. I'm looking at it right now. You're a certified doctor of spiritual counseling, tantric sex educator, Let's see, you've traveled to the temples of Indonesia, Japan, China, and Thailand. Yeah, they have a nice thing about you here.
Yeah, I've done a few things.
Yeah.
It's my passion. What else can
Absolutely.
I do? It's my dharma.
Absolutely.
I'm not fulfilled unless I'm doing these things.
Do you see some time, perhaps in the future, where a lot of people who currently are doing massage, perhaps who are doing sex work, will eventually turn to Tantra, will turn to sacred sexuality, will go through that same kind of transformation?
Yeah, I think it's imperative. I mean, not the Tantra part, but the sacred sexuality part. I mean, how many of us have really been touched in our genitals, in our yoni, or in our lingam for the purpose of healing?
Yes.
Not many. It's either to get off or to explore to see if you have a disease, or there's so many other ways to address those areas. And those are some of the core areas where we as people growing up in this modern world need healing desperately. And I'm not just talking about a pap smear. I mean like real loving touch in that area that isn't about the woman's performance or the guy's ejaculation, but it's really about the healing and the couple growing together.
Yeah, tell me a little bit more about that. About that need.
About that need.
About that need.
Well, I think we all need it. I mean, it's hard to grow up in our modern culture. There's so much still parents and grandparents alive that hold this idea that sex is shameful, save it for the one you love. Like a lot of these backwards ideas about, you know, sex is dirty, so hold on to marriage. I mean, it seems so obscure. So even if you weren't someone who got abused or got hurt or molested, you could be mentally molested by the weird thoughts that are put out there that somewhere in those beautiful, pure children's bodies, that doesn't set right. That's like, what?
Right,
no.
Yeah.
You know, it's dirty, so save it. No. You know, those kids don't get that. So eventually, hopefully, God is blessed, they come to a point where they realize, you know, this is what's sacred, and in their own version of sacred. And I think ultimately that's what religion is for, is to bring out the God self in each of us so that we become a guide, or we become kind of the one who says, is that good karma? Is that bad karma? Is this a good thing to do? Is this a sinful thing to do? Or however you distinguish it, I think it's up to the individual. I don't think that you need to put your society or your parents or your grandparents or your priest information and just download that right onto you just because someone said. I mean, that's very passive. That could happen easily with parents saying, oh no, don't masturbate. Don't masturbate? Well, for heaven's sakes, it's much easier if they masturbate than they're going and getting their friends at school pregnant.
Yeah. But can we still believe that, you know, it's like when that Attorney General under Clinton got fired because she suggested that. And, you know, and we still have the highest
That's appalling.
Rate of teen pregnancy, and you know if people
and we had a and we had a senator who was firsthand had her underage daughter knocked up. I mean, what kind of role model is that?
Right. And we still have
the plus the fact that she is very anti sex education, anti condoms in school. Isn't it a funny little twist of fate that her young daughter ends up pregnant.
Right.
When she's not willing to have the conversations about it.
Absolutely. I mean, the paradoxes and the ironies, particularly in the among the conservative people, it's always them who have these sex scandals.
And you know what? It just works out worse, because if sex is something that's dirty or taboo or sacred or that my parents aren't talking about, oh my God, I want to know it. I want to know everything there is about it. I want to do it. I want to know it. I mean, it works. It's total reverse psychology. You can't hear about this. Therefore, you want it. You want to know everything about it.
Yeah, it's like that you're making it into forbidden fruit. And of course, what did it say? I'm thinking the great line. You turn like into like cookies, and the cookies that you always were able to sneak out of the cookie jar before dinner, those were always the best tasting ones.
Yeah, all that sneaky stuff.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of the place we aim with sacred sexuality, is to get beyond the fetishes and the sneaking around on your husband or your wife. And your like, there's a certain inner sexuality today. There's a certain amount that's mixed with, how can I be dirty? How can I be unfaithful? How can I be, you know, a little bit more sleazy, a little bit more? And I think that that's kind of, I hope we can go back to 6,000 years ago, when nothing is really dirty or sinful, and people have a greater consciousness.
Yes.
Because I ultimately think that sneaking around ends up tearing down not just your relationship, but you. Because then you're out of integrity, and you're not feeling like you did the right thing, or you could have done better.
Right. And you know, who can really enjoy that? Why does it have to be
none of the parties? Two or three or whatever. Yuck.
And it's like, you know, if it's a healing of these thought forms, these programs, these conditionings. What were some of the healings that you received? I mean, how did you clear yourself?
Like, are these PG healings? Or are you like want some juicier?
Well,
I got tons of healings in my repertoire, pal.
We're on the adult channel, so you can say anything you want.
I get to new places in my body, even recently, like up to last week. There's things that I think I like in sex, or that I think, oh, I'm not really that fond of that, and then there's these times when I get places into my body where I come, I orgasm, I ejaculate, I have these multiple waves of tremendous Shakti pleasure that I didn't even think were possible based on my past. And I'm just like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. I've been studying this for 20 fucking years! Come on! Don't tell me there's new things. Don't tell me after all this time there's new things to be learned. Please. And there is. With different people, especially with myself and my own body. But sometimes even different people will have like a different technique or a different way, and that will trigger it too.
Wow. So there's still things that you're still learning.
I don't know if I'm learning them or they're learning me. Because, you know, I've read so many books, and just I have a bookcase that's from, I don't even know how big that wall is, like 12 by like 20, I don't know, stuffed full of books. And I read books. But there is so much that you cannot learn in a book. You must experience it in your body, on a full body level, whether it be in a ritual or with a lover, or you get the book and go over it with a partner and then experience it. I think that books are very mental, and we live in a mental world. We're very mental, cerebral, we're on the phone, we're in our GPS, on the computer, we're thinking, planning, doing, going all the time. And unless we get to a place, a session would be ideal, or a place that's like a session where that time is, you know, so we're setting aside this time to experience this. And whatever happens, great. Whatever doesn't happen, great. We're just that much closer. So I think kind of experiencing it in that safety helps a lot to be able to just feel whatever's there and experiences whatever there. And hopefully you learned a little, you read up a little bit on it. But I just don't think the mental reading is really more important than the physical happening and the physical doing in your body.
Yes. What's some of the things you, that you would say for a man is healing in the work that you've done with men?
Something that I would say for a man that's healing?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm just going to go by the big one right now.
Okay.
70% Masters and Johnson. Let me rephrase that here. Masters and Johnson says 78% of men are premature ejaculators.
Mm.
What that means, one, is you should have total control over when you ejaculate. You have control over when you pee. You have control over when you go poo. You have control over your body. So you should have total control over your body, meaning if you make love for 7 hours and you wanted to make love for 8, that's premature.
Wow.
So a lot of people I deal with are premature, and that seems to be my specialty because I get so much practice with it. But the other thing I will say, the reason why the premature ejaculators are my favorite, that sounds kind of kinky, doesn't it? The reason I enjoy working with them is because they have this level where they're almost already there. Like, they're so excited, and I can feel that. I'm a very empathic person. In addition to being psychic, I'm really empathic. So if I touch someone, I can tell if they're close or, you know, like, if I can get them to breathe a couple more times. So it's a really fun session for me, and let me tell you a little secret. Sometimes when I'm working with these guys, I'm not always, especially if they say, oh, my God, I'm super, super, super quick on the gun. I usually, like, have them lay back on me so that I can touch them. They can see me, but they're not necessarily, like, too over outside stimulated by me.
Mm.
And while I'm working with them, and I teach them some surrogacy techniques to make it last longer, and as I'm doing that, a lot of times they totally last. I go right through it. They're, like, happier than ever. They're getting up off my table dancing. But the weird thing is, if you take the sheet out from under my yoni, I'm soaked.
Wow.
They didn't even touch me. It's just I'm so empathic, and I get so turned on by them getting turned on, and I can almost, like, feel the ups and the downs and the close and the back and it completely puts me in their space. Sometimes even when they have... if they have an orgasm, I feel like I'm having an orgasm.
Wow.
I know. It's intense stuff. But, you know, the reading kind of backs it up, too. It takes two people and two bodies and two wiring to make an experience that obviously is going to be greater than your one single body and your one single tubes and wiring. So if you take that into consideration, anything's possible.
Now, do you ever have a situation where you get the reverse of that, the opposite of that, that is a man who takes too long?
Yes, and to be honest with you, I have to say that's not my specialty. I've overcome that, and I think when I said to the universe that's not my specialty, I got a barrage, like 4 in a row boyfriends who all had that same issue. And so I've developed some things to overcome it. I'm still not going to lie and say I'm better at it than I am with premature. But I'm developing in that way, and I've had a lot of success stories. And I know one thing that's incredibly helpful, one goddess that worked for me in Los Angeles for a long time had a boyfriend who just delayed forever, and she just felt like, what is it? Is it me? Am I doing something wrong? So I gave her an article that's actually on Goddess Temple. It's called Milking the Prostate. Mm. And through milking the prostate and using manual and oral techniques, this will help any man who is a little slow on the process.
Cool.
And so by using some of those techniques and some things I've learned from my friends in surrogacy, I'm pretty good at it. Am I as good as the premature? Probably not. But I'm getting better.
Fantastic.
And it's not as common either. Which is,
no.
I'm not just saying like, oh, you're not as common, so don't ask me for help. No, because I feel like I'm learning more and more and more. And it's getting better and better. And I used to say, oh, premature is my big specialty. Because, I mean, I can just handle that in a second. But this is a little bit more of a challenge for me. But I think it's equally important because some guys think, well, I can last forever. Isn't that great? And I go, yeah, it's great unless you and the girl are looking at their watch and kind of wondering, when is this going to be over?
Right.
Then it's not so good.
I have to say, and I'll say it, that's sort of been a situation that I fall into.
Yeah, well, you can always play that other side, like I'm already a master ejaculator. Or when you become one, none of your lovers will know.
Mm.
They'll think, oh, he's just doing that regular thing where he doesn't ejaculate quickly.
Well, also, in terms of all this, I still think that, from what I can see out there, I still think we have a real deep conflict about ejaculation for men. Should we? Shouldn't we? How many times should we do it? Should we not do it? Should we do it at all? And then no wonder why you're gonna have problems in as opposed to
right. And also, what else do we have? Porn.
Right.
It's got to be a rock hard erection and a big money shot. And trust me,
right.
When it comes to intimacy and closeness, that shit doesn't mean anything.
Right.
That means nothing. Like, who cares if John Holmes can do that on TV? Put a DVD in.
Yeah.
You know, like, get over it already. And I think that's, you know, that's like a big part of it is like, you know, who should you be or how do I have to fit into that? And I think there's ways in both situations, whether it's too early or too late, there's ways to kind of make it not be that much so. Okay, let me be more specific. To make you ride on that wave. Because let's face it, why do they call it coming? It should be called going.
Yes.
So the more you can kind of prolong and pull out that coming aspect, you're still on that little anything could happen. Oh, my God. Oh my God. Even if you are delayed, you're still in that place of, oh, my God, oh, my God, am I going to come? Should I breathe? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. So, and I think that excitement is what is transmitted to a goddess. She feels that right away. Either like, oh yeah, maybe I'm gonna make you come, or like, yeah, let's really work this out and see how long I can get you. You know? So it definitely kind of depends on your partner a little bit too.
Mm. Well, then you must see also a lot of issues with relationships. And with people.
That's a big one. Intimacy and relationships and not enough
people
connection.
People are dating and things like that. What do you see as be the number one, I guess I could say the number one issue that we have today, or let's say several issues that you see, and that you can, comment on from your point, from your wisdom.
In regards to, I'm sorry, I lost you.
Okay. Well, what do you see as the main problems out there that people are having?
Okay. I see one of the main problems is that it is, what the hell is it, 1909? Am I wrong? Is it 1910 already? I don't know. We're in 1909. We're not in 1950. There has been a huge change. I think women still think they need to get married. They need to please their husband. They need to raise children. They need to... There's all these things that are very much left over from, like, the 30s and the 40s and the 50s. And it's like, I've had a beautiful career. You know what? If I meet a great man, I'm not saying no. I'm not closing the door. But he's really got to blow me off my feet. I think it's us, as women, coming into the woman age. We need to take back our power and say, you know what? If I want to have a kid, I'll have a kid on my own. You know what? If I want to get married... I will. You know what? If I want to keep my last name, I will. You know, I just feel like there's a lot more chances out there for women, whether they live in a platonic relationship or a monogamous relationship or, you know, no matter what their relationship is, they have many, many, many solutions and many things that they can change and make up, well, this is my lifestyle. And I think we've still been pigeonholed as women, which takes our men with us. We need a husband. We need a boyfriend. We need, and I think that kind of just throws the whole culture off a little bit. You know what? We've been players for like 20 years. Come on. You know, I mean, I get it. I get it. If you really love someone and that commitment's really there and you want to be with someone, I'm all for marriage. For me personally, I would rather not have the government in the middle of my marriage. I don't want a piece of paper that says it's okay for me to get married. I'd rather go out with my beloved on, you know, a cliff and say, I love you forever, than have witnesses and people that could pull it all apart. And I don't know. I think we get limited. Like, women are growing and growing and growing and growing and growing. And we don't really need anything. But if we do, it's more than at our fingers, and we can manifest something that's better than we possibly ever imagined, because that's just how the times are. The times are changing. Things are going faster. We don't have to play 1942.
Right, and there seems to be forces that are trying to drag people back to the 1950s.
Oh, certainly, sweetheart. You know, I mean, I hate to say this on national unsecured errors, but you don't think the government's a little bit happy if we all get married and get, you know, one TV, and then our sister gets married and she gets one TV, and they all get a grocery, a refrigerator full of food, and the other people get a refrigerator. I mean, it's good for the GPA. It's good for the GPA. So why would anybody want us to be blissed out, totally happy, ready to just roll around and make love, not war? That is completely the wrong thing to do for the USA.
Mm.
Might be the right thing for us, but not for them.
Right. Ooh, I got to say, I'd say Karina Clark for president.
Oh, my gosh, you're so cute, except for my porn background would totally get in the way. Not that I'm ashamed of any of my porns, and they can all be bought on goddesstemple.com. The porns I directed, the porns I starred in, the porns that make me who I am.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I saw the one you directed, Goddess Worship.
Oh, the Goddess Worship?
Right. And then there was, you were in the female ejaculation video.
Yes. I was the only good squirter in that whole video. I must
admit.
And I will give you a secret. There's also a secret video. I was 17. But my document said I was 18, and it's called The Lucky Hitchhiker.
Ooh.
Not exactly super sacred sexuality, but I sure had fun.
Oh, cool.
So there you got a little bit for the show. The Lucky Hitchhiker.
Now, talking about celebrities, in terms of, we were talking about Shakti Pat, what do you think about porn stars?
Jenna Jameson is my favorite woman in the world. She is like the hugest idol to me. You don't even understand. I love, worship that woman.
Wow.
And I'm also crazy in love with her publicist, Sarah Perkins. And since this is in L.A., if anybody knows Sarah Perkins, go to Goddess Temple and tell me her address and her number. I called her once. I am interested in making all of my rituals into little mini and bigger mini, I don't want to say porn, but like sex educational, sexy, I guess pornographic, you know?
Well, they could be
kind of movies.
You know what they could be like? They could be like the stuff that Nina Hartley is doing now, the stuff that Tristan.
Yeah, no, I love Nina Hartley. I love Nina Hartley. I met her once at a. What the heck was that thing called? For some reason, I can't remember it. But it's like the big gathering where everybody goes.
Yeah.
I met her once, but I was too afraid to talk to her. In Las Vegas, it was like the porn star convention or something.
You're too afraid to talk to someone?
She's just a bigger star than me. She is.
Yes. Oh, she's a legend.
A legend in her time, no. I like to think I'm a legend.
You are, darling. You're a goddess.
What was that? I'm trying to think of what that thing was in
Lifestyles.
Lifestyles,
yes. The swinger convention, yes. She's also a swinger.
I love that. I would love to go that again. If anybody out there is listening, send me an application. I went to that like 6 years in a row, and then I had that not-so-great relationship, and he kind of stole all my mail and stuff.
You've had a really incredible life. I think you have a really incredible book for you to write.
I do, and it's almost out. I'm so excited.
I feel your excitement.
It's all flat and pasted and ready to go to the publisher, but who knows how long that's going to take.
Wow. That's great. That's great.
Yeah,
and so, now, do you see, consequently, problems with women? What would you say are men's problems?
I thought all we've been talking about is men's problems.
Well, yeah, no, but I mean, like, when you said, like, going back to the 1950s and things like that.
Well, I think a lot of women are still, after all these centuries, they're still very closed down in their mouth. They do not express, this is what I like, this is what I need. I think it comes from a bigger disconnection right around their heart, where they don't feel in their yoni and they can't speak out their throat because there's a disconnection in between those areas. I think that if women were more empowered to say, and I think it's men too, if men can really show up as a daka and say, does that feel okay? What about a little bit over to the left? Is that okay? That helps her link her mental capacity to what's happening physically in her body and in her yoni. So I think that's a lot of it. And I think that girls need to just, period, speak their mind.
Yes.
Maybe not so pretty. But sacred spot massage, I think, is incredibly, incredibly powerful. Go to sourcetantra.com, and they have, like, a double video, a double audio cassette, and a map. I know how guys love maps. And it tells you how to find the sacred spot and the healing that can occur from that. So I recommend that for every couple, every man and couple, and every woman who wants to do it herself, who's brave enough to just do it.
Well, and you just said the word DACA and DACA training. Do you think that I could probably imagine your answer, but I think it's a good question. If a man has no intention of becoming, let's say, a professional DACA, so to speak, do you think it's still worth it for him to have DACA training?
Not for my school. Yeah, I just don't think so from my school because I like to have a certain level of integrity. And just because people know little tricks, I don't think that's tantra. I think
right.
It's great that you know little tricks, and that may or may not help somebody, but that's not tantra. And my training comes from both a very rigid right-handed path and then from Charles Muir, who's pretty left-handed path, like whatever goes. But I try to make a midline out of that and combine both of those two things. And I think with somebody who is not committed to that or has some kind of practice on his own, whether it be chiropractic or whether it be massage or, you know, if I see that, then I'm more likely to say, yeah, take this up. But if I don't see that motivation in the first place, then I don't know. If it's a guy who wants to learn to be a DACA for his wife, fuck yeah. Totally. I'm all for that. It's just the kind of people that I don't really clearly see what they're going to do with it. And I know there's a lot of things out in the community where men claim they're DACAs and they end up having some kind of negative experience with the woman. And that's not at all what Tantra is about. So I think Adam and Moses said something about getting those people off the site or having like a blacklist.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
So I try to screen those people even more so than women. Not that I don't try to screen women, too, but usually, you know, when a woman gives me a list of degrees and credentials, you know, I check them out. They're for real. But a guy, he's not always likely to do that. Like, oh, well, I've studied with the vampire incarnation. Okay, no, thank you.
What's your vision for the future? What would you like to see?
I would really like to see my school, my course, online. So people could just sign up, get their information, and even do a certain amount of teleconferencing or letter-to-letter or emailing with me so that they could get certified as a certified tantric dakini and do their apprentice course. And so far, I haven't had the knowledge or the technology to put that up online. And I know that's been a big deal for me and for my mom, who's like a huge help in my company, and she loves me, and I'm one baby out of 17 miscarriages. So she totally loves me, and she wants that more than anything. And I want it, too. I want it to be accessible to everybody. Hey, if you want to heal someone, who the heck am I to stop you?
Absolutely.
So I like to just keep making things available, whatever is.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Well, I think it's a beautiful, beautiful site. And.
Thank you. And it's only been around for 20 years. I'm not going to date myself. Because I'm only 29, so I know that works out really weird.
Well, I have to say, your photos are just so beautiful.
I could pass for 29, huh?
They really are. I love the ones when you're on the beach and you're like doing like handstands.
Well. Those are cool. I like those, all those yoga beachy ones. Yoga beachy!
Yeah, it's because you also have articles that you have written there as well, and there's just a lot of good information.
Yeah, in Goddess Temple, there's a ton of articles that I've written, and also in Unveiled, there's a ton more of articles that I've written, and some of the goddesses have written, too.
Now, what is Unveiled?
Unveiled is like the devotees section of Goddess Temple. Like, if you really like the women, and you like what they're saying, and you want to see more about them, more pictures of them, more articles written by them, then you join excuse me, then you join Unveiled and you see a whole bunch more of that stuff.
Oh, great.
And it's like $19.95 a month. So it's not super expensive, and if you don't like it, you can also cancel the next month. But most people are so happy that they get to see that, and there's not other sites up there that even show, you know, that kind of love or connection. It's all about sex and money shots.
Right. Right. I always see that when I go to Goddess Temple, there's, you know, of course it's erotic, but it's more than that. It's, you definitely feel the sacredness of it, which is, that's why I've been, you know, such an admirer of yours for so long.
Thank you.
It's like, you know, it was like, wow, when I finally saw you on Facebook and I was able to, you know, become friends with you there and say, well, would you like to be on my show? And you said, yes. I said, wow. After all these years of from watching Strange Universe.
It's so important to me to get this information out. I feel like there's so many people who need it, just like me,
yes.
Just like I was when my marriage and family counselor teacher said, you need to go. This would be so much about you. And I feel like there's so many other people that need it, too.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So goddesstemple.com, GoddesTemple.com is where to go. There's links on there to Unveiled, which is UNVEILED.net, and that will take you to the Goddesses Unveiled.
Amazing. Well, I'm just so happy that you're able to be my guest tonight.
I am so thrilled that you asked me. Anytime, I'd love to be back. I love radio. I love it. I miss it. I haven't done it in like a year.
Oh, well, you can come back anytime you want to.
Yeah, I can't wait. I'll have new stories.
Yes, absolutely. We can talk more about some of the ceremonies.
I would love to. That's my new film project, is having bath and massage and sacred spot worship and goddess worship and all of those ceremonies. I want to make them into videos.
Yes, so and goddess worship is not a scene. That is not, that's not a...
No, it's really about honoring and worshiping your goddess, because the tantric theory is that once she's full, it's going to automatically overflow onto you, onto the children,
yes,
onto the community, like all of that. So it's not like a selfish kind of goddess worship.
and those are available on the preview of Unveiled.
Yes, I think so. I think so. I was supposed to meet with the video guy today, and if it's not working, we're going to get it all up and working in the next couple days. But, yeah, there was a preview to Goddess Worship. There's also previews to a bunch of other videos, but I think they're in Unveiled. Like, I don't know how to give them to you by not going into Unveiled.
Right. I remember the... Goddess Worship. Also, I like the...
I know, that one was so pretty, but I can't find it, so I have to wait till I talk to my video guy.
Yeah, and also the... what's the one you say? Oh, Double Goddesses, not for the faint of heart.
Well, it isn't. I mean, if it's your first Tantra session, you probably want to learn the basics. If you're overwhelmed by too many beautiful goddesses, it could be way too much. It could. You just blow your heart out.
Yeah.
You never know.
That's true. And also, the prostate massage is important.
Yes. The mirrors would say that is like the most important thing. Prostate for the men and sacred spot for the women. I don't think that there's any one thing that's going to do it or not do it. I think as long as you're embarking on the journey, you're doing good. And when you feel open to certain things and not open to other things, it all works out. It's just not what you're drawn to.
Yeah, I was seeing how the importance of it, especially because of to aid in perhaps combating prostate cancer or like not allowing it to happen at all.
Right. No, definitely. Definitely. Or even if you already have prostate cancer, it's an incredible way to kind of maintain that and stop it from getting worse and keep it stimulated and keep all the good blood cells going there. So, yeah.
Yeah, I know we're kind of like running out of time, but I'd like to hear the story sometime of how that very wealthy man came to see that money wasn't everything.
Okay.
The man who was in Strange Universe.
Oh, right. Yeah. I think you have to send me that day first. I have to see it just to refresh my memory. That was so long ago. That was like 10 years ago.
Yeah. I think his name anywhere there was Lee, I think.
Right, Lee. That's his name. But still, we're no longer friends, and I would like to just kind of see what happened there.
Oh, I see. Okay. Okay. Well, it's been a pleasure talking to you. I feel totally blessed and totally blissed. It's, I'm just very, very, very happy to the ability to know you now.
Oh, blessed and blissed. Me too. Thank you so much.
Well, please visit goddesstemple.com and, see Karina's wonderful work.
Unveiled.net, too, where the juicy juice explicit techniques are.
Well, thank you, Goddess Karina.
Goddess bless.
Goddess bless to you. Namaste.
Namaste.
And thank you all for listening tonight. We will return next week with more original programming. This is Stephen Otero speaking, and you have been listening to Mondo Eros on bbsradio.com. Thank you and good evening.